Welcome to the Next Level Leaders Podcast with me, Dr. Joseph Walker. This podcast is designed to offer strategies in moving vision to reality. Leaders can expect to be mentored, inspired, challenged to succeed at the next level. So prepare to be exposed, empowered, and equipped for excellence. Thank you for connecting and allowing this space to become an opportunity for growth and collaborative learning. Now, let's go on this journey together and spark the change we wish to see in ourselves, our teams, and the world. Hi, I'm Dr. Joseph Walker, and thank you so much for tuning in to Next Level Leader Podcast. This is the podcast we come together every single week where leaders grow together, learn together, and we're inspired together. I am so grateful to have you connected on today. Make no mistake about it. Leaders understand that iron sharpens iron. I say it every single week, and I believe it's still true. It's important for us to put ourselves in spaces where we can be better every single day. Thank you for being a part of this community. Wherever you heard about this podcast, thank you. I want to encourage you to share it with as many people as you can. It would bless us. We're trying to reach 1 million leaders, and I'd like you to help me do it. So here's what I want you to do. Share the link with as many people as you can, people you know have leadership potential and just need a little sharpening. Let them know that this is a good place every week to sharpen your tools. I want to also ask you to follow me at JosephWalker3 on Instagram. That's the community we come together, we grow together, and I love to answer your questions. Make sure you do that. Go to my website, josephwalker3.org. You can get more information there that I know will be a blessing to your life. So I want you to go there if you want to know when I'll be in your area to get books and content, etc. It will be a tremendous blessing to you. My wife and I have a podcast. I talk about it every single week because I want you to go and support it. It's called Our Life, Our Journey, Our Truth. It's on YouTube, and boy, oh boy, we get so many compliments and so many comments from it. And I want to make certain that you are part of that community as well. We drop a new episode every Friday, so you can catch this podcast early in the week. And of course, you can always catch that one video on YouTube at the end of the week. So you can get it on both sides. And we talk about marriage, relationships. We talk about, you know, leadership, talk about being successful, overcoming obstacles, you name it. We dealt with it, parenting, balancing it all. You got to go over there and check it out. So hope you do that. Today, I'm excited because we got a good topic. And I always get excited about these, confronting a culture of stagnation. How do you deal with stagnant people? Everybody has to deal with this. And I think it's important when you see an organization kind of leveling off, and there's a culture where people get comfortable. I have seen it. People become so content in doing the same thing over and over again, and they lose passion and energy. Sometimes things settle in. How do you confront that culture of stagnation when you are progressive, you see the future, and you don't want to be regressive, and you don't want the organization to die? How do you get people to move beyond being stagnant, being in a place where that'll do, or that's fine. We don't have to do any more than we've already done. Let me tell you something. I am going to give you some principles that I believe can help you. And one is to identify why people are stuck. That's the first thing. Let's get to the source of the problem. Why are people stuck? And sometimes that can come through surveys, that can come through one-on-one conversations. You can discover a lot, you know, through the process of asking questions and kind of finding out what has happened. Have people come to the end of their careers and they're just stuck? People feel that their work is no longer valued. They feel what they're doing is in vain. Are people stuck because they don't feel appreciated? It could be a variety of reasons why institutions and people get stuck. Sometimes people are distracted. They have competing issues with their family and personal life that cause them not to have the same level of energy. And so it's not always intentional, salacious, an attempt to undermine the organization. Sometimes there can be a variety of personal and professional things that are preventing an organization from moving forward, because when we often see people that are stuck, we demonize them, we view it negatively. But sometimes people who are stuck feel like that's the only thing they have to do is maintain the status quo, keep a thing in position so they can focus their energy on something else. So let's find out, or is there something you know, wrong, toxic in the organization. A person feels that there is no path forward. They feel that their labor, their ideas fall on deaf ears. And so therefore, they just feel like, what's the point? You know, I've talked to people like that and interviewed them in other organizations. They felt like their great work, the ideas were often, you know, rejected. And so the stagnation comes from, I'm just here to do a job. They don't want to advance. Nobody wants to move forward. So you have a lot of things you can discover. And I would encourage you to ask the right questions from the right people, and you'll get a lot of intel on why people are stuck. And that's why it's important to have, number two, empathy for their fears. Sometimes moving something forward out of a place of stagnation can create a great deal of fear. I have said it over and over again that fear creates anxiety, or change creates anxiety, and it creates this level of fear because people are having to step into something that they've never had to do before. And so it's incredibly important that we understand this, because there are a lot of good people who are truly afraid to do something new. Many of you leaders who are hearing me right now, you think about it. Sometimes to walk into something you've never done before, the xenophobia kicks in and you're like, am I the one that's supposed to step outside the boat? Am I the one that's supposed to go up this mountain and do what I'm supposed to do? Am I the one that's supposed to make this first major investment? It can be tough. And sometimes you have to have empathy for people because of what they have to overcome. Let me say it slow for the people in the back. You have to have empathy for people who are having to do what they've never had to do before. That's a powerful thing. So I understand how you can have a level of anxiety and fear. So I'm not going to push you too hard, because I understand this is a process mentally, spiritually, professionally, logistically. You have to have empathy for what a person has to overcome just to make change happen. Here's number three. A part of your leadership role is to help them reimagine. Can you help people see their situation differently? To reimagine what the organization can look like, what the vision could be, to reimagine what their personal situation can be. A part of leadership is to start crafting that narrative and helping people to see a path forward, to help them to see something that is greater than what they've walked into already, helping them to realize there's more out there. That's what leadership does. And I often say leadership is about vision, and vision is about exposure. So can you expose them to, you know, what's possible? People often don't reimagine anything outside of what they've always known, because there are no leaders to really push them to do such. I push my team all the time to reimagine what we could be, reimagine how many lives we could touch, reimagine, you know, how we could be more efficient and effective. I think that when you push your team and train your team and help them, you'd be amazed, right? And a part of that is, when you do it, what you will discover is something I discovered, is this number four, is to take it slow. Change does not happen overnight. You've got to gradually, methodically move it forward slowly. The fastest way to get there, ladies and gentlemen, is slow. I've discovered that, and I want you to hear me. Don't rush a thing. I see a lot of young leaders who come into organizations and they're just so zealous, and they've got idea after idea and they're pushing it down the throats of the people only to be rejected. The people vomited back because they didn't take it slow. You've got to plan this out strategically. Maybe I'll do this year. Maybe this next year. Maybe I'll do this in 10 months. It's one of the things that I even do, even when we implement new vision and ideas within the context of our ministry. I plan it out. I don't try to lump it all at the same time just to say we got it done. Sometimes that means you can have a 24-month calendar versus having a 12-month calendar. Sometimes you can have a 36-month forward-thinking plan. What's your 36 to 60-month situation? And start thinking about the next 3 to 5 years, what you can get done and how you can get it done. So take it slow with people. Give them a little bit now and then wait. Let them process that, digest that, and then give them a little bit later. But don't give it to them at all times. It can be too much and it will cause rejection. But I think it's also important to expose your team to what's possible. You know, early on, Mount Zion Church in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm blessed to pastor, a part of my leadership was to take so many of our key leaders and even some of our church to visit other churches to know what was out there and what was possible. And I've used this leadership model in every area of my life because what I have discovered is a lot of people are just prisoners of their own zip code. They don't know anything outside of what they have always known within a particular radius. I believe that you have to show people, you know, what's possible. We have people who bring their teams to our church all the time. They come because they want to learn. They want to see. And I think that that's what's important, man, to really bring people in, to help them understand. Like you know, we want to show you what's possible. You know, we started here and look at where we are now. And if God did it for us, he could do it for you. This is how we're using technology. This is how we pivoted to this versus that. Showing people who may have concerns and who may, you know, be somewhat resistant to change. Look at how this makes this other organization more efficient. Look at how they're winning, and we can do the same thing. So any leader that does not expose your leaders to something greater than that, man, let me tell you, you are robbing your people of something amazing. So I want to challenge you and encourage you to tell your team there's something possible out there. There's something that we can attain, and I want to put you in a position and expose you to it, right? So when we talk about this culture of stagnation and we talk about confronting it, one of the things that I think is incredibly important is you making it a budget item. Number six is investing in training. It's something that I am committed to doing at our team. I think we have to do it across the board. You've got to train your people. You got to get them. The reason why they're doing what they've always done, because they don't really know any other way to do it. And training has to be very intentional with the right people, the right voices, the practitioners, not people who are talking about what they read in a textbook, but people who actually can live it out every single day and show your team, you know, through practical application, how to advance and make vision come to fruition. So for me, training is essential. And not only for my team, but let me tell you something, training is essential for you too, leader. You've got to put yourself in places where you can be trained. This is why I mentor leaders. If you want more information about that, reach out to me. Hey, some people don't realize the importance of having someone to mentor you, to coach you, someone to take you on a journey through our, you know, at the table leadership cohort, something I do. People invest in that. They come. Sometimes their churches or organizations will fund them to be a part of it because I'm a practitioner. I'm not going to give you a bunch of theory. I'm going to tell you, this is how you lead. This is what you learn as you lead. And I think it's important. So I think every single person who is a leader must put yourself in a position where you absolutely, hear me well, you absolutely invest in the training of your team. All right, let's review before we go to our last principle, as we always do. And of course, I'm always thankful for all of you that are listening to this podcast. And I hope that each word that I'm sharing with you is blessing you in a special way. We're talking about confronting a culture of stagnation. And number one, we talked about how do you identify why people are stuck? There was always a reason for it. People are not just stuck because they want to be. There's always a reason. Number two, having empathy concerning their fears. What are they afraid of? How can you help them overcome that? How can you also, number three, help them reimagine something they've never seen before? Leaders have to walk into a space and say, have we thought about what we could potentially be if we did X, Y, or Z. Take it slow, though. Don't rush it. People have to move at a certain pace. You don't have to boil the ocean, do it all at one time. Take your time. And then expose your team. Expose your team to what's possible. Take them on field trips. Take them places and show them. Send specific staff members out to other places and let them examine and interview and bring back the best information they can or how other organizations comparable to yours are doing what they are doing. And then, of course, invest in training, which is a part of that, but just making certain there's an intentionality tied to how we train people, the kind of training that we afford our people. It's so important that we do that. And then here's number seven. Empower, don't enable. We've got enough enable leaders, y'all. To enable people can be tragic because sometimes we enable people to make excuses of why they can't be progressive, or we've never done it like this. Okay, well, let's just not rock the boat. That's enabling. You have to empower people as leaders and as teams to move forward and challenge the status quo, to always maintain relevance, to be on the front line of greatness. And this is why I just want to encourage you today, because as you hear this, it is incredibly important that you put yourself in a position where you can absolutely empower your people. As a leader, empower them. Give them the tools to win. Give them the tools to break the culture of stagnation. Give them the tools where they can go higher and higher, because the higher they go, the higher the organization goes. And so I really hope that this has blessed you. I really do. These seven principles that we drop every week, I hope have been an enlightening tool of information for you that you can use and go back and truly do the things that you feel called to do. I'm thankful. And I want to make sure that you follow me at Joseph Walker 3. Make sure you do that. It's Joseph Walker 3 out there on Instagram. That would mean a lot to me. Make sure you go to Our Life, Our Journey, Our Truth, my wife and I's podcast on YouTube, Our Life, Our Journey, Our Truth. Make sure you subscribe, like, do all those great things. And then I want to make sure that you comment and let me know, even on this, how this has blessed you. Send me a message out there on Instagram and let me know. Share this podcast with as many folks as you can, and know that every week we're going to bring you more and more content that we believe can be a tremendous blessing to your life. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I want to thank you for being connected. It means a lot. And know that we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we pray God's richest blessings be upon you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you real good. That's my prayer. Peace out. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. I want you to subscribe at iTunes, cpnshows.com, or whatever podcasts are downloaded. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Joseph Walker3.